I've been sleeping kind of weird lately. For the last fucking 20 years of my life. But today specifically, I keep falling asleep throughout the day. Just taking like naps like 3 times throughout the day. It just seems to work, well, work better. It's the only way it works at all. If I try to stay up in a normal schedule, it just doesn't work. I've really been talking or been thinking about for a while going to see like a sleep specialist, but I always move somewhere, you know? I had the idea in Vancouver, but then I moved back home. Then I moved to Vancouver again. Then I moved back home. Then I moved to New York, where, of course, you gotta pay piles of money for shit like that. I really gotta do that shit when I get home. It's weird how it just seems like it's easier not to. You know, it's just easier not to, because, you know, it's a big rigmarole. You gotta go see a doctor, you gotta blab about all your shit, you gotta set up appointments for future stuff, blah, 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 blah. But what's the alternative? To just have fucked up sleep forever? I don't really know what they can even do to fix this. But, I really, really, really gotta do that, man. It's ridiculous. It's one thing to hobble your way through your 20s, but I gotta fucking quit this shit. Anyway, as it stands, it's like 10 o'clock. I just woke up. And I've been meaning to for ages. I gotta go over to Spooky's house, check out that. He's been out in Australia. Go pick up his mail. Make sure his, you know, fucking house didn't burn down. So I emailed his roommate guy and was like, hey, I'm gonna come. Come tomorrow. But now it's like, fuck, 10 o'clock. What all I want to do right now is go get some coffee and just like draw some stupid comic strips or something. Stay up all night. But if I do that, that's gonna fuck me tomorrow. I'll sleep through the whole goddamn day. So it's a whole in and then I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, fuck responsibilities, fuck doing anything that makes goddamn sense to normal sleep patterns, fuck it, I'm gonna go get a fucking coffee, I'm gonna stay up all goddamn night, I don't give a fuck what happens, fuck it. And I'm also gonna play some inspirational 80s music. I was watching Hot Rod again the other day. That's the Andy Samberg movie. I thought it was highly underrated. It's not a bad movie. It's a fucking stupid movie. There's nothing about it that's, like, super awesome. But I saw it with my friend Matt in Vancouver and empty theater. The thing was a bomb, but I don't know, cracked us up. And there is this one part that is legitimately fucking great. It's, like, the big fucking leading toward the climax of the movie, the big power shot, all the main characters walking down the street, all tough, all slow-mo, together as a band, as a unit, you know? Not as a band, as a stunt crew. And it kicks into this old song, what's this guy's name? John Farnham, I think? I looked him up, he's Australian. It's this song called You're the Voice. It was a big hit, like, everywhere in the world except America in the mid-80s. And they tried re-releasing it in, like, 1990, and it was a little, made a little splash. But, and then, you know, like, as they're power walking this big inspirational song, it all devolves into an enormous riot for no fucking reason. And that is the one part of that movie that I think is legitimately fantastic. Man, I fucking wish I wrote that scene. It's fucking awesome. It is so good. And this song is just, this is a fucking, not a power ballad, it's a power something. Power pop, inspirational power pop in the way that only the 80s can deliver while I go get some fucking coffee. We have the chance to turn the pages over. We can write what we want to write. We gotta make ends meet before we get much older.
not gonna live in fear. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh. I wonder if it pisses that guy off that that song was never hit in America. He must just be like, fuck you, America. What the fuck else do I need to do? That song is some fucking retarded, catchy shit. That is insane, that song. It's 1986, man. What else could you possibly ask for in 1986? What do I have to do to please you fucking people? Seriously. Jesus. I just assumed I'd also be able to find, like, a cool cover version of that song, because it just seems like a natural thing, you know? To cover as, like, a cool punk song or something. But every cover that I found was easily as faggy as the original. So why not just stick with the original? But that is a fucking badass tune, man. Ah, I like that fucking song. And even if you don't want to go watch all of Superbad, at least just fucking log onto YouTube and look that shit up. That one scene. As of this recording, March 2009, it's on there, and it's fucking awesome. Ah, it's so good. Oh, what a pain to go into fucking Brooklyn tomorrow. Man, it's like the longest possible ride you can take to get from my house to Spooky's house. It's like, man, it is a long ride. It's like all the way from one end of the trains to the other, through Manhattan into Brooklyn. And then back, because see, the plan was, Spooky was like, hey, why don't you take a copy of my keys and just kind of go chill at my place? Which, if it was just an empty apartment, would have been fucking cool as hell. Like, all of a sudden, I got an extra second apartment in Brooklyn, closer to the heart of things. But he's got this roommate, I don't know the fucking guy, and I mean, it's basically like a studio apartment with just, he's got like his own little room, kind of, but it's awkward. I don't know this fucking guy, so I can't just go over there and, like, crash out. So I gotta go all the way there and come all the way back in, like, one day. And it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know about this, man. Fuck this. Fuck this shit. I'm sorry that Spooky's having problems with his shitty roommate and needs someone to look up on the guy. But, god damn it. I mean, I'm further away living in the outer end of the 7 train here in Queens. Farther away from downtown than I have ever been anywhere that I lived. The great New York. First off, fuck you, as you've heard a million times, but the great culture of New York. What? I can go see more plays? Oh, I can see plays you don't see everywhere else. Fantastic. Who gives a shit? And you know, I've noticed that New York comedians are pussy motherfuckers. You think this would be the cutting edge. This would be the grindstone. This would be the mill where you come to fucking battle it out in the gladiator pits. It's goddamn not, man. You go to any one of these fucking dozens and dozens and dozens of little comedy showcases that everybody puts on, and you just hear the lamest fucking bullshit ever. Ah, alright. Shake it off. Shake it off, Keith. You're getting all worked up over nothing. Fine, you're staying home tomorrow. You've decided. Good. The therapeutic effects of ham radio have therapeuted you. It really would, I mean, to get to Spooky's and back. We're talking hours. It really is like I do live in a different town. Each of the boroughs really is its own town. So to get all the way from Queens into Manhattan and then to Brooklyn is ridiculous. If you live in a smaller town, you can get to the heart of things always faster and easier than you can here. And it's going to be better anyway. A somewhat smaller but less frenetic and manic and super insane psycho shitty fucking mess of quote unquote culture. One reason why I'm feeling so aggressive right now is I'm listening to this Anthrax song that I used to love when I was like in 7th grade. Let me play it for you guys now. This is when they changed singers, and this, as far as I know, was their biggest hit, this album. And the album eventually kind of grew on me, but it's really only this one song that I ever really liked. But I was fucking crazy about this song. I could listen to this song, and I did listen to this song all the time when I was like, how old is that? 12? 12 or 13? I fucking loved this song. Loved the shit out of it. This is called Only by Anthrax. We'll be right back. let's do some music historianism. I did this once before where I played an old song, and then I played the song that Saul Williams then made out of a sample of that song. At the time, it was a Public Enemy song. This time is the Bad Brains. I've been reading a lot about early 80s hardcore lately, and it's like weird how hugely influential the Bad Brains and like well remembered and respected the Bad Brains were, considering they only really had their peak run was very short. I don't know, 2 years? And they started getting into a lot of weird dub reggae stuff and Rastafarianism. And you can take whatever ism you like, and it's fucking stupid. It's all stupid. Don't fucking kid yourself. Your stupid fucking labels and your dumb goddamn pseudo-religious or religious or whatever. Whatever the fuck. Your fucking dumb labels. I know that's hippie sound and shit. Oh, I don't want to label myself. But don't. Don't, you fucking idiots. Don't. Don't. Don't do it. It's dumb. It's a fucking dumb, retarded thing to do. To put yourself under someone else's umbrella. I figured that shit out when I was 17. I remember, it still is to this day, my favorite book, Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And it's a book a lot of people got a lot of problems with. It's pretty easy to criticize. It's really hardcore, right-wing you could call it, I guess. It's the kind of thing where, if anybody ever read Preacher, to get all nerdy on you, Harry Styles, the big villain of Preacher, he's kind of, he's insane about wanting world order. He's not at all in line with Ayn Rand's politics and ideas, but he wants order at any cost, and you find out, like, when he was a kid, he's got this weird star-shaped scar on his face because a bully, when he was a kid, like, carved out his eye and scarred his face. And Featherstone, the chick that helps him, similar situation where her sister got butchered by a random murderer, and so they want order at any cost, at any price. And in a less extreme way, that's a big reason why I took so well to Ayn Rand. It's this really, it's all about self-sufficiency. It's all about looking after yourself. It's all about not having to rely on other people. Individualism, basically. And I really felt like, just in general, just from the general trials and tribulations of going to school and just kind of getting knocked around in the washing machine of the public school system, that was enough to kind of push me down and shake me up that I wanted order, I wanted structure. So I really took to this book that was all about how you don't need this structure, you don't need these people, you don't need this system, you've got yourself. And I found out that this woman, Ayn Rand, had like a whole philosophical movement that she called objectivism. Most recently, it showed up in some video game, Bioshock, I think it was called. But I remember for like 2 weeks, as an impressionable 17-year-old, when I was online talking to people and shit, called myself an objectivist. And it only took 2 weeks for me to figure out how fucking stupid that is. Just the idea of, particularly this little group, because it's a group of individualists. Individualism is the whole fucking thing. And yet, I'm using your term, your catch-all, your label, to supposedly explain what I think about everything. And those people are just a pain in the goddamn ass, because if you don't agree with things that they say and you don't fall into line with them, since they're so reasonable and rational, they're like, oh, well, you clearly haven't thought this through well enough. If you did, you would think what we think. And it's a big pain in the ass. But 2 weeks, man, that's the most they got me for. 2 weeks. What's the matter with people that they just fall into this fucking horse shit of whatever? Pick your poison. I don't care what you think you are. Rastafarianism. Fuck you. That's fucking stupid Bad Brains and everyone else. And then people are always surprised when these things turn out bad. They're always surprised when you find out that Rastafarianism, for instance, is massively anti-woman. Or when you find out that Judaism is the same way. They all are. It's all fucking horseshit. It's all stupid. It's all just an excuse to get away with doing dumb, insane shit that doesn't make sense under the name of someone else's, under someone else's banner. You're just looking for an out. You're just looking for a group to be a part of so you don't have to take responsibility for what you think about things. And it's a whole lot of horseshit. So let's listen to some fucking songs. This is some Bad Brains, followed by Saul Williams.
In light of the current trend in realness, stop. As an alternative, we will be confiscating weed supplies and replacing them with magic mushrooms in hopes of helping niggas see beyond their reality. Stop. Give my regards to Brooklyn.
Say hip-hop no more, son, it's bigger than that. Say ghetto no more, black,
the lie that I'm telling. One listener grips his knee and starts yelling. I see through speakers, I speak what's seen. I eat and shit, I sleep and dream. I walk the streets of London like Narmin. And chilling rack of mama eating crisp soybeans. It's like that.
You know, I'm really starting to realize that to be in a good mood, I don't necessarily have to be happy. Sometimes if I'm just fucking pissed off at people, it feels good. I like it. I'm really starting to realize just how much I was having to dampen myself just to get along with people, you know? Just to get along with the girlfriend. Just to fit in to Keith and Hemda and not get in arguments and dumb shit. And it's not their fault. It's my personality that's the problem here, but it ain't gonna change. Maybe I'm just gonna fucking, I don't know, destined for a life of lone wolfism, but who the fuck gives a shit? So what? Could be a lot worse. But on the other hand, I'm thinking how I was just hanging out the other day with Julio from NY.com and his wife Claudia, and I don't know, I bet if he's listening to this, he must just be like, what is this? This isn't this guy. Well, you know, we hung out for hours the other day. Fucking, we had an awesome time. We were at Times Square. We went to Dave & Buster's, played a bunch of crappy fucking arcade games. And went to see Coraline in 3D, hung out at some coffee place around the corner, and it was just a good time. And I mean, I'm clearly not an angry guy, you know? Clearly I'm not, you know, we just hung out and just had fun. It was just a good time. It was really fun. So I don't know exactly what my point is, that I guess I don't totally have a bead on this funny little muddle called McNally. But yeah, a lot of times when I'm by myself, I can get worked up about stuff, but in a fun way, you know? I like just being fucking, I don't even know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But, I don't know. I guess it does come down to the people I'm with sometimes, because, I don't know, fuck it, who cares? Who the fuck cares? I don't have a point. I hope you didn't come here looking for a point, because there is no point. I'm going to play some songs from Akira. Super famous anime, probably not as famous to the new generation as it was back in the day, because nowadays is, you know, you can get Japanese cartoons and comic books no problem. But when I was younger, it was a lot tougher, and you'd have these kind of big ticket things like Akira that everybody saw and everybody knew, even though it wasn't really that great. Akira was kind of fucked up. I'm kind of curious to watch it again, but I don't know. I downloaded the comic book too, but it's huge. It's like 3,000 pages. And I hate reading comic books online, but I don't want to buy it. Anyway, we had this thing when I was in high school, where up at the university, they would book the one of the teaching theaters and play anime on the big screen. I'm sure I told this story before, but it was a fun time where they would get these VHS dubs of fan-subtitled cartoons, and since the internet, I guess, yeah, it was around. It was nascent back then. We're talking like 96, 97. Probably the best you're going to get is like some IRC horse shit. Like, you can't just go download a cartoon back then. So this was really cool. Plus on the big screen, plus just an excuse for like 50 or so people in town to just get together every week and hang out. And I remember my dad would drive us a lot of times, and we'd have so many people packed in their cars, like practically like in India or something, where people are hanging off the sides of things, like just packed in there, like way too many people in one car. But it was really cool. And this really kind of reminds me of those days where I'm going to play the first song from the Akira soundtrack that you'll probably remember from the really like iconic sequence at the start of the movie where the bike gang is driving around and Kaneda's on that cool ass red bike that he's got. And it's really fucking cool. And this is a really cool song, too. So here's some Akira shit while I try to get my head back together. Oh, before I play that is one thing that, back when I used to work at a comic store, I was really into Japanese comics, and there weren't really that many of them back then. And, like, the big one was, at the time, Ramna One Half, which people would get on my ass for calling it Ramna. It's not Ramna, it's Ranma. NM. Okay, sorry, nerds. Jesus fucking Christ. Maybe I should go watch Star Wars, too. I used to kill them that I never saw Star Wars. I didn't watch it until I was 21, and it wasn't that good. or people would come in and be like, hey, did you read the latest Captain America? No. No, I did not. It's the whole reason I got hired. That's the scramble of fanboys fucking falling all over themselves to try to work at the comic store. The reason you didn't get that job and I did is because I didn't give a fuck what Superman was doing. I don't care who the current Green Lantern is. I was the guy that knew all the weird, obscure shit. If you want to discuss the way that Chester Brown draws his comics on a woodblock and pastes panels and all his weird shit, I can talk to you all day. You want to talk about guys in tights? Not so much. Some of that shit's fun, don't get me wrong. I'm big into wrestling, and if you ask me, wrestling's not so different from superhero comics. It's the whole soap opera, what do you call that? Serialized fiction idea of making sure that nothing ever actually changes, but trying to pretend that it does into perpetuity, especially with comic books, man. No fucking wrestling storyline or no soap opera has ever stretched on as far as fucking comic books. Just the same fucking shit for 60 years. Anyway, I remember pushing really hard. It was Viz Comics that was putting out Ramna. And pushing really hard to the guy who managed the store of like, just get this shit, will you? Will you just fucking order this stuff, man? As soon as we get it in, it sells out. People are dying for this. There's this whole group that meets at the university. You know, like, people love Japanese comics because they're not just about superheroes. They're a much... I mean, they're extremely generic in their own way, but at least on the surface, they're about different things that are more interesting to a lot of people, girls in particular. And finally, when he finally buckled and ordered a bunch of Ramnas, we couldn't keep them in stock. We just sell them. I was like, do you fucking see? Thank you, Jesus. And that little example really exploded, like, nationwide. Nowadays, you can go in any big bookstore, any comic shop, you're gonna see so many goddamn Japanese comics, you could fucking choke yourself to death on them. No real point to that story. Just some rambling about comics. Here's some Akira music. We'll be right back. Hey, here's a cool song that I've been meaning to play for ages, just as for the sake of history. This also kind of brings back some memories of Ian worked in Midtown Manhattan, so I'd go be there a lot to go meet her after work. And that was always kind of a grind, like jump on the train all the way from Queens, head way in on the fucking F train. Took a really long time. And underground for a lot of it. Underground is not good for anybody's head. And then I'd get out of the train, and it's like winter time, so it's already dark. And everything's crowded and noisy, and it's just like, yeah. And then, you know, I guess I wouldn't necessarily be in the most chipper of spirits because of all these things, and probably also just because of underlying problems between the two of us. And then she'd compound it with stuff like, aren't you glad to see me? And it's like, ah, women, don't do that. Don't fucking do that. Don't put that pressure on things. I will get happy to see you. Ah, hate that. So let me fucking be. Let me just be me, man, lady, the world. Come on. I really am turning into a fucking hippie. Jesus Christ. Anyway, one of those days when I was got there a little early, so I was just walking around that fancy pants neighborhood near Trump Tower and all that stuff. I did some shows up there too. I like that I got all these ham radios to remember this year in New York. It's really cool. In a way, I wish I did this more in Vancouver, that I had all this sorted out to be able to do this, but it's also kind of neat that Vancouver is like this perfect crystalline memory. Because when I listen back to these shows, obviously my memories of New York are, I'm not going to be able to lie to myself. I had a lot of weird problems, but I think it'll be cool. Maybe I'll have a marathon in like a few years where I'll just listen to all of this fucking shit I did in New York. So one of those days, walking around Midtown, just had my MP3 player loaded up with shit. And I was listening to NoFX live shows. And this is just crazy. Like, NoFX is never that big of a band, particularly back in these days. Somebody happened to bootleg the first show they ever did with El Jefe. Who, you know, it's almost inconceivable that NoFX didn't have El Jefe in it at some point. He is he's their most talented member. Plays a bunch of different instruments, totally rules, just a funny dude. So this is the first show they ever played with El Jefe, when they introduced a little song called Kill All the White Man.
Anyway, this here, his name is Jefe, the new guitar player. Hey, this is his first show ever, and we've only had one practice together. But he learned it all at home, see? He learned it all at home. This is my first time, and I hope I don't fuck up or anything, so I have you know, I'm so nervous right now, I can't get a pin up my ass with a jackhammer. Hey, don't do that. We don't really know this song, we're just doing it. When must be relaxed. And how do we be relaxed? Smoke Jamaica. Oh yeah, oh yeah, kill all the white man. Oh yeah, oh yeah, kill all the white man. The white man, he come over to my country. I do not like the white man up in me. He come over to me and try to take over. Then he asked me, come on man, bend over. Yeah, 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 more, yeah, more, yeah, kill out the white man. Oh, yeah, more, yeah, kill out the white man. Yeah, more, yeah, kill out the white man. Why, yeah.
of the white man.
That's enough. That's not really a song, but that'll be a song one day.
I just listened to You're the Voice again. Man, I love that song. I wish I had more 80s shit to play on this show. Wow, wow. Alright, it's probably about time for me to head on home. I could just walk the streets forever, but man, I've been fucking burning a hole in this neighborhood. I've walked around it so many goddamn times. At least it's nighttime, so there's no trains going by, or planes, I mean. I remember I wrote a thing way back in the day for an old novel that I still haven't finished because my work ethic is just the shits, man. That's one thing I really like about stuff like just drawing cartoons. It's the instant gratification of it. Or even just doing these ham radios. You go out, you record it, you put it together, biggity bam, is done. You can hear it. People can comment on it. Same thing with drawing a comic. You draw some cartoons. Funny ha-ha, some laughs, post it up. Everybody likes it. Meanwhile, these bigger projects like novels and stuff, oh, you know, I still haven't finished one. Even short stories are hard to finish. But yeah, I remember writing this part for this novel about how you walk, you know, these same paths day after day, your same routine. You know, it is like you're making a path in the grass, or you're just making a circle, and you're just fucking, I don't know, how would you describe it? Well, just, yeah, I don't know, just burning a trail into, burning a circle, walking around your neighborhood, walking around your life, kind of in circles. It's sort of how human life is, but you gotta use those circles to pick up speed and go around and around until you kind of lift off into the next better phase of your life. And that was, I don't know, back when I was still in my hometown and I wasn't doing fucking jack shit, but I guess that's how it goes, you know, you gotta be able to envision things before you can get there. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just goddamn rambling. I like coffee. Did I ever say that? It's delish. 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, 11. I don't even know what the fuck time it is now. Coffee time. That's what time it is. So let's finish off with some fast songs. And then after that, a slow song. So this is Andrew WK. Don't Stop Living in the Red. And this guy, he's really dopey, but he's also really great. I remember he used to have this thing on his website where he would just answer people's questions. And he's just, like, so ludicrously positive, man. It's just awesome. I wish I had some examples. But I just remember stuff like one guy asked a question, his name was Buzz. So Andrew WK goes into this weird, long rant about all the times that he's liked the name Buzz, of, like, Buzz Lightyear and the bee from fucking Honey Nut Cheerios, and the older brother from Home Alone, his name was Buzz, and it's like, what are you even talking about? But it was funny, I don't know, it was like, ha, I like that guy, what a weirdo. So here's one of his songs, and then I'm gonna play the slightly more aggressive, this is As the Worm Turns. It's an old Faith No More song from their first album, when they had Chuck Mosley as their singer. And this was the only one of those old songs that they officially re-recorded with Mike Patton on vocals. They did a lot of them live, but this was the only studio one. And it is so damn good. I always kind of wished they would just redo all that shit with Patton. And then later I got to like Chuck Mosley. But this song, I'm really glad if they picked one song to re-record, this is the one. Because this version kicks the shit out of the old version. So fucking cool. Man, that is a cool song. I like that song a lot. It's weird that it's got this, like, epic fucking aggression feeling to it. Even aggression is maybe a weird word since it's, like, got all this keyboard and stuff in it. But that it's kind of about these kind of mundane day-to-day things. But really, what else is there? Like, I don't know. I have a hard time getting into, like, super epic bands that are all, you know, riding on the wings of Satan. Crazy, giant, biblical, epic shit. It's the day-to-day that always is more interesting to me. That's where the real fucking fights happen. That's where the real epic fucking battles go down. All right. That's a show. That's a wrap. Let's bring this motherfucker in for a nice, smooth crash landing. This is a song. I got a whole folder of, like, hey, maybe I should play this on ham radio. And then a lot of these songs sit around for a really long time because it just never seems like the right time to play them. And today I'm finally breaking this one out. This is a French band called Air. They're pretty famous. A lot of people know them. I think I first heard of this band because the song Sexy Boy was in the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, which was a surprisingly good movie. That was a pretty solid teen movie. I would go so far as to recommend it. It's just a good time. It's a fun watch. Probably less fun now because Heath Ledger is dead. But honestly, it's one of his best movies. I just remember, like, hearing... Again, it's like how when you're young, you think musicians know things. You think that their words are important and meaningful when it's really just a whole lot of horseshit. And that's not entirely their fault. It's because you're doing interviews and stuff and you're just blabbing all the time about what's essentially a fairly limited subject, really, to talk about music. Music affects you or it doesn't. You can only dissect it to... you know, for so long. So I sympathize somewhat with musicians that are stuck always having to find something new to say. Obviously, some of it's gonna sound fucking stupid. But it's kind of the same thing with actors. I remember Heath Ledger saying that he didn't want to get typecast in 10 Things I Hate About You, or after 10 Things I Hate About You, because they offered him a lot of other teen roles, and, you know, for instance, like, where's Freddie Prinze Jr. right now? Long fucking gone. But then he did these incredibly fucking retarded movies, like A Knight's Tale, that were not even a speck on the fucking asshole of 10 Things I Hate About You. Just because it was a teen movie doesn't mean it was shitty. It was way better than all the other fucking bullshit he ended up doing for a while. Anyway, I think that's how I first heard of Air. And that album is still my favorite. Whatever the hell it was called. So this is the very first song off that album. It's called La Femme d'Argent, which means the Silver Lady. And it's like a 7-minute grooved out tune, but it's really good. I like it a lot. So let's chill the fuck out, shall we? Together here on Ham Radio. Oh, late night. Late night radio. Internet radio in your head. In your brain. Voices from around the world talking into your skull, giving you perspectives not your own from far away or close away places. You remember the olden days of the radio, like the 70s, some DJ talking to you late at night? Maybe that was cool. Maybe it wasn't, because then he played REO Speedwagon. I don't even know that band, but fuck them. Maybe they're awesome. Maybe they're my favorite band. Maybe, I don't even know. But he'd have his cool, smooth, melodious voice, such as this. The crew of the Minnow was lost, and so are you, etc. Those days are done. Now you get the rambling rantings of a weird, random Canadian. Living in faraway lands. Constantly complaining. Got his ups, you got his downs. You get to hear what music he thinks is cool. And it's all because of the internet, babies. Because of the power of the internet. Take it away, Air La Femme d'Argent.